Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
I'm really fired up about the message this weekend. And we've been in a relationship series. I think this is week number 5. How about Pastor Mekon last week? Oh, ship. I watched that message and I was like, I'm going to do Oh, Ship part 2. Just so I could say that a few times. That was fun. But we are in a series about keeping it real and getting it right. And today I'm going to talk to you about picking purpose over people. Picking purpose over people. Now, I'm sure that that sounds odd to some of you. And I'm sure that as I say it, that some of you are like a little bit stunned because in your mind, especially as Christians, like it's all about people. And we know that Jesus is all about people. And so for me to say that might sound unusual, but I'm going to spend the next half hour or so just talking to you about this because I think this is a misunderstood and sometimes a little bit, there's a complexity in this that I hope to be able to help you with. And I really believe actually that some of your lights are going to go on this weekend and you're going to see some things you haven't seen before. So I want to invite you to lean into this and expect God to talk to you through the word today. Basically, let me set it up like this and just tell you that when you pick people, you can miss purpose. But when you pick purpose, God will provide the people. Somebody say, uh-huh. We're going to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and we're going to look at the story of a young shepherd in Israel. His name was David, and we're kind of getting in later on in his life. But he was a shepherd. He had defeated Goliath. He had successfully protected the borders of his nation, and he is now named as the king of Israel. And David has been navigating rough relational waters through this whole process of pursuing his purpose. And if you read his story, you'll know more about what I mean by that. But on one hand, he's had to deal with haters and fakers and posers, and people who had their own agenda, people who wanted to bring him down, people who didn't want to see him move forward, people who were jealous of him, envious of him. And then on the other side, as David prioritized his purpose and walked in his purpose, God brought allies and God brought helpers and God brought encouragers and God brought warriors alongside him to support him. So if you want to be average, or let me say it like this, if you want average, unmotivated people in your life, all you need to do is be average. They will find you. But if you want to be around people who have purpose and passion, people who are motivated and skilled, going somewhere, then you have to do more than seek their company. You can start by being a person of purpose and a person with purpose, a person with passion, because people with purpose are attracted to people with purpose. And actually, many times when we live in our purpose, we find people who are showing up who are actually part of the same purpose that we're a part of. And people who don't have purpose in their life can and will have a congruency with other people who haven't located their purpose as well. So David was a man who was living his life on purpose, and there were people being attracted to him, and there were people being brought to him. And that's really what this message is going to, we're going to talk about this weekend. And the first thing I want to talk about is how David didn't give everyone access to his life. He knew that not everyone was in his life for the right reason. And while he knew how to welcome the right people and bring them along with him on his journey, he was highly intentional to surround himself with people who had a common purpose and were ready to live on purpose. But David was a God man. And no compromise about that. He was a worshiper. He would worship publicly. No compromise about that. He loved the house of God. He was also a skilled warrior, a freedom fighter. He was like bad to the bone. He was a man's kind of man, all right? And I want to read in verse 16 this particular scenario of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 16. It says, other Benjamites and some men from Judah also came to David in his stronghold. So David has just become the king. He's in a stronghold with his crowd gathering around, and they are purposeful people with a vision for their lives and their nation. But these Benjamites came along, and I want you to notice verse 17. David went out to meet them. He didn't invite them in, and he didn't give him his gate code. He realized not everyone was meant to be in his inner circle. And he said to them, so he goes out to meet them. He rides out with some of his guys and he meets these 30 guys that are outside the city. And he said to them this, if you've come to me in peace to help me, then I'm ready for you to join me. But if you have come to betray me to my enemies when my hands are free from violence, may the God of our ancestors see it and judge you. Like he's like straight to the point. Declare yourself. That's what he's doing. Declare yourself. And then the Spirit came on the chief of the 30. And he says, like, uninhibitedly, with a mountain of certainty, he says back to him, we are yours, David. We are with you, son of Jesse. Success, success to you, and success to those who help you, for your God will help you. Like, without hesitation, a warrior, the leader of the 30, declares himself to be in alignment with David. And then, I don't think it was just his words that convinced David, but I think David looked in his eyes and he looked at his body language, and I think he felt like this is authentic, and he discerned authenticity in the moment. And so he received them and he made them leaders of his raiding bands. You see, not everyone who is in your life is in your life to help you. In fact, some people are on assignment to distract you and to confuse you and to drain your energy away from the people and the purpose that you're meant to invest yourself in. Some people are on assignment to discourage you. There's a story, an example in Scripture where Jesus looked into the eyes of Simon Peter and he called him Satan. And when I talk to you about someone being on assignment, like, don't make that spooky. Just understand that a lot of people who don't even know it are oftentimes used by your adversary. Because your enemy knows that if he came to you in the middle of the night with a pitchfork in his hand, that you would recognize him and wouldn't listen. So what he does, he comes through people. And on this particular day, Jesus wasn't really talking to Peter. Like, he loved Peter. Peter was one of the 12. He loved him. But he was talking to the enemy who was in Peter and causing Peter to say something that was out of line with God's purpose for Jesus' life. Let me show you another example of a man of God, the Apostle Paul. He writes about various people in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. And let me just, you can look at it as we go through it, but just notice the various people that he refers to. He says, do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, and then he names Crescens, and then he names Titus. All three of them have abandoned me, and they're gone. Luke alone is with me. So get Mark and bring him with you, like he is really valuable to me in our ministry. And Ty, I've sent him over to Ephesus. Look at all the people he's referring to here. And when you come, like, bring the cloak that I left there in the books. Don't forget that and the parchments. And then verse 14, he says, Alexander the coppersmith, it's kind of like, by the way, he did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds, but watch out for him. Beware of him, for he strongly opposed our message. You know, just so you know, like, Alexander, not good. He's not good for us. So I wanted you to look at this, and I want everyone to know this weekend that I'm not suggesting that you live hyper, scared, withdrawing from people, that your radar is always out, like, you know, on everybody that you get in their airspace. Not at all. But I am suggesting that you live aware and that you pray for discernment so that you're objective and clear about the people in your life and the people that come into your life. For example, our church is a church of acceptance, high acceptance. Like, we accept people of all age, all background, people of all race, all diversity. We have all kinds of people, and that's what we want to have at Champions Center. Like, that's a value to us, right? That's a value. But I want you to know this, is that acceptance is not the same as alliance. And everyone who is a symbol is not aligned. And I have to know that as a pastor. If you read some of the books in the Bible to pastors, you would see that there's a lot of teaching to the leaders of the church that you would be able to differentiate and just know that everybody doesn't have good motives and everybody's heart is not in the right place. And so I can't live scared and I can't live, you know, on the defense, and that's not the point. But I gotta pray for discernment. And I gotta ask God to show me and give me discernment for the people that are coming into our world, into my world, into our airspace. And I believe God wants the same for you in your life. And I see a lot of people who are in their eagerness to accept everyone or be accepted by others, they open the gates of their life to everybody. And one way you can think about this relational dynamic is to think of it like a house. Like you've got a front yard. Some people you need to meet out in the front yard. Like, and that needs to be just where you meet them. And then there's people, you welcome them into the living room, right? Those are living room people. Yeah, that's pretty good so far. Eventually, there are people who end up in your kitchen, in your refrigerator. And it's good. Well, you're good with that, right? But you've got to understand. A lot of people think, well, Jesus, like, you know, Jesus is just throwing the gates of his life open to everyone. And there's a lot of naivety around how Jesus actually did manage his life and manage his time. And I want you to know that Jesus did stoop down. He often stooped down to people who were in need. But he stooped to them for the purpose of lifting them. Good. And you're going to have people who want your attention around their issues and around their problems. And they want you to stoop, but they don't want to stand. These people want you to stay down and sit with them and keep talking about their issues and their stuff. And the minute that you say to them, hey, let's not sit here anymore. Let's rise up. And let's get out of this strife that you're stuck in. And let's get out of this passivity and complacency and complaining that you've been in way too long. Let's move life forward here. Let's forgive. Let's stand up. And the minute you do that, hear me out, there are people who don't want to stand. And that is your signal to move on. You're not meant to be with people who don't want to live a life of purpose. And you can't let that person keep you from your purpose. God has called us to help people that want to stand, to stand. But the problem a lot of people have, let me just say it like this and be really blunt and right at you this weekend. And because I care about you and I care about your life. And some of you are going to sort this out, and I'm excited for you that this weekend the lights are going on and you're going to get a revelation in some areas of your life. But you are not their savior. I said, you are not their savior. And sometimes what good Christian people do who love the Lord is they shoulder the responsibility for people who actually don't want to help themselves, and they stay and they think that's their obligation and they're supposed to stay right there as if, and I have people say to me, well, I don't know what's going to happen to them if I move on, and I don't know what's going to happen. Well, you're not their savior, and Jesus is, and Jesus probably has sent 10 people before you who have stooped down, and Jesus is big enough that when you move on, he'll send number 11, and he'll send number 12, and if he's not finished with them yet, they're going to be all right, but you are not their savior. Somebody ought to clap your hands and be thankful and be excited. Okay, here's an example of Jesus. Just so you know, I got a great example. John 2:23. And by the way, this ministered to me years ago as a young pastor. And here's what I saw. John 2:23 says, now while he, meaning Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover, many people saw the signs that he was performing, and they believed in his name. Look at verse 24. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. So what he's doing here is there's people that are reaching for him, people that are wanting an autograph, people that are, you know, hanger-oners, and people da da da. And Jesus has been in a lot of situations where people's motives were not right, and Jesus knew, and he was discerning. And so he moves away from this huge crowd, and then, watch this, in John chapter 3, if you just went over to the next chapter, what happens is that one man named Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And Jesus rolled out the red carpet to him. And he sits down and has a conversation in the garden about being born again, about God's plan for his life. And he just shares the gospel with Nicodemus. And you read that and you go, whoa, wait, 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 wait. He just walked away from a multitude of people. And then he just gives himself to one person without inhibition. Like, it's not that he wasn't generous. It's not that he doesn't care. It's not that he doesn't love. He was able to differentiate between the people who were really hungry, people who wanted to live on purpose, people who are actually, their heart is in the right place, versus people who were not. And so if you thought of Jesus as just kind of always having the gates open and inviting everyone into the kitchen, you don't understand Jesus to the fullest extent. While every relationship is not a good one, I want to flip the page or go to a new chapter and just tell you that there are relationships that are divinely orchestrated, God-assigned connections in your life. And if you were to go back to the story that I started with today of David, the first 15 verses of that chapter, 1 Chronicles 12, it lists some of the mighty men that were coming to David. Now get the picture with me. Get what's going on here. Is that David was living on purpose, slaying giants, fighting on behalf of his nation, guarding the borders of his country, all the while being chased around by a mad, angry king named Saul, throwing spears at him, hiding out in caves, which is where he met a lot of these guys. A lot of them were criminals. They had criminal backgrounds. They were outcast in society. They had failed. And now they're out in the hills of Judea for one reason or another. David is out in the hills of Judea because he's running from Saul for his life. And these guys start coming around David, and David starts giving them purpose. And David starts downloading into them. And David starts talking to them about God's plan for the nation of Israel. And he starts telling them that good things are going to happen. And they're going, "You need to get rid of Saul." No, you don't understand. I'm not supposed to touch God's anointed. That's not the way this is going to happen. Yeah, and so he's teaching them new ways. He's helping them to be better men. And they loved him for that. And they were devoted to him for that. And I want to just point out a few things about these guys so you understand the caliber of guys that have gathered themselves to David as he becomes the king and the new king in the nation. Verse 2, it says that they were armed with bows, and they were able to shoot arrows or sling stones, right-handed or left-handed. They were brave warriors, ready for battle, able to handle the shield and the spear. Their faces were the faces of lions, and they were swift as gazelles in the mountains. Verse 14, they were army commanders, the least. I love this line. I love this verbiage. The least was a match for 100 and the greatest for 1,000. Hello. We're not talking about your average people here. That deserves like two wows. You ready? Wow. Wow. We're talking about skilled, mighty men who, it says, the best of them could literally figure out, like, We're talking about special forces here. They could figure out, if I've got to deal with 300 today, if I got to deal with 1,000 a day, then I got to get my game on, and I got to have some strategies, and I got to have some traps, and I got to have some ways of doing things. Like, that's who we're talking about. We're talking about great, skilled, not normal, not average, like a caliber higher. People who worked hard, and now they're coming together in purpose, and they're joining forces, and they're like all headed in the same direction. So while there's some people who he's not even letting them in the front gate, he's riding out to check them out. There's other people that are right there in the living room of his life. There's people who are in the refrigerator of his house, and you might say, you might say today, "Well, man, Pastor, I want some skilled people in my life. I want some wise people. Like, how does that happen? Like, I want some healthy, strong friends in my life." And if that's you, here's what you need to understand. You won't find eagles while you're hanging out with chickens. See, chickens like it in the barnyard. They walk around pecking on each other and pecking on insects and bathing in the dirt. They flock together. They look for one another's approval. And they live that life based on mutual chicken lifestyles. This is who we are. This is how we do, like we all together. It's called flocks. They flock together. And the only eagles who live like chickens are eagles that don't realize they're eagles. That does happen, by the way. But you need to understand and realize that the purpose in your life should determine the people in your life. And there's nothing more important than God's purpose in your life. And when you understand that God has a purpose for you, and David did not go after people first. He wasn't trying to please people. He didn't live a chicken kind of life. He wasn't kind of like just fitting in and let's all do this and let's flap a little bit, but let's not really go anywhere and let's all talk real good and let's hang out with our friends and let's just socialize. We need a desperate awakening in the hearts and the minds of men and women of God to understand that relationships are not just for our comfort. They're not just for our social enjoyment. That's a fringe benefit. But relationships are meant to be part of a shared purpose. And the strong relationships that God has for us in our life are built around His purpose in our life. Am I making sense to anybody? Am I helping anybody? Some of you are high I personalities. You're really people. And maybe this weekend you would feel a little bit like, well, wait a minute, that's so contrary. I just love people, Pastor Kevin. And I am not here to try to get you to not love people. This is not the point. And Pastor Kevin, like, I just love everybody. I'm not here to try to get you to not love everybody. Like, give high fives. And greet people and stop and talk to people when they're discouraged and give them a smile and pray for people and care about people. Don't stop. God wired you that way. Like, come on, keep reaching out to people. I'm not trying to get you to shut down the people-loving part of your life, but I'm here to tell you are most vulnerable if you are like that, to getting connected to people who are on assignment to bring distraction and discouragement and to take you off course with God's plan for your life. You are not here on accident. You are not here by coincidence. You are here on purpose and for purpose. David was not willing to open up the gates of his life to people who didn't respect and honor God's calling and purpose in his life. And he wasn't willing to risk God's plan for relationships. So he protected the gates of his life from people who might be a detriment or a distraction. And in your life, you're going to have some relationships and some people that you're going to like them. And in your relationship with them, there's going to be a lot of drama, and there's going to be a lot of idleness, and there's going to be a lot of talk but no action. Love them, hug them, high five them. Be kind to everybody, absolutely. But recognize that they are not yet in sync with God's purpose. And you can't spend excessive amounts of time. And then there's other people who actually they serve a good purpose in your life and you serve a good purpose in their life. Like they, they're it's an insurance salesman and you need insurance. And it's a salon owner and you get a great haircut there and you have, good small talk. And this is good. Like there's nothing dangerous or bad about that. But what I'm hopefully helping you to think about is that the best relationships are relationships formed around God's purpose in your life. And when you go purpose first, this is the beauty of it, God adds the people. When you keep purpose first above people, then you'll end up in the company of the right man, the right woman, the people that have a common goal to know God's way of doing things. And you might be saying, well, Pastor Kevin, what about people who don't know Jesus? I need to reach out to them. Absolutely. Like, here's what you do. You're the guy in the boat, and you throw them a lifeline. Like, absolutely. They're in a dark hole, and you're standing above them. You don't go down in the dark hole with them. You put a rope down. Like, in measure, you reach out. You love people. You spend time with people. Be a friend, in fact, of sinners. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just understand that that friendship is based not on your doing life with them. That friendship is based on your being a light to them. Am I helping you? I hope I'm helping you. Like one more thing I want to say. Not all relationships are meant to be forever. Some of you really need to hear that. Like, some are for a reason, some are for a season, and some are for a lifetime. And if someone walks away from you, don't chase them. And don't ask them to come back. I said, don't chase them. It's a mistake to hold on to relationships with people who walk away. Let them go. Let him go. If they walked away, that means you don't need them and you're better off without them. Some people are like, just remember this, some people are like milk. They get bitter with time. Some people are like wine. They get better with time. And what you want to do is be a wine person, and you want to have wine people in your life. And when the milk person walks away, let them walk. Don't chase them. Man, it's getting quiet, and you guys know I like it when it gets quiet. Feel like I'm all up into your stuff. And on the other hand, come on, girl. I know you're only 18. I know you're like, well, he's so handsome, and he's so, yeah, and I can't believe I messed up and I lost him. And, well, you've lost the last three guys because you're way too needy. And you're chasing them down. Did I just say that? I did. Come on, girls. Come on, woman of God. We just officially started Oxygen Conference. Like right now. Let him go. Let him go. Let him go. Like don't even like send him a text. Don't let him go. Someday he's gonna look back and he's gonna go, I really messed it up. I really screwed it up. You know why? Because if you follow God's purpose in your life, you're going to end up in a place that others will envy, and you'll end up with people, the right people in your life.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give, or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.